So 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. The grass of the field withers and the flower faints, but this, the word of our God, abides forever. And we, the people of the Lord, say, Amen. Dear friends, from the time of the Reformation up to and even into the 20th century, people who grew up in Reformation churches or Reformation countries saw the government as a protector and a promoter of the Holy Church of Jesus Christ. Even our own confession of faith, to which we subscribe, says this, that government has a duty to promote the Christian religion. And in many ways, over the past years, over the history of the Reformed churches and Reformed countries, governments were a help and a promoter and protector of the church. And even down to the time of our grandparents and our own time, our government does help the church. And of course, all of this is by the grace of God, by the common grace and mercy of our Heavenly Father, not leave us to ourselves, but to give us a government to help us. For instance, even in our own day, we as a church, if we own property, do not pay property tax. We have charitable receipts that we can use while we're filing for our tax returns to help us. And also, there is the criminal code that we have in Canada that protects our worship. With this heritage, this Reformation heritage, this confessional Reformed heritage, we haven't felt the force of passages like Romans chapter 13 or this text in 1 Peter chapter 2. But now we do. Of course, for many thousands of Christians in communist and fundamentalist Islamic countries where Christians have been tortured, humiliated, killed, and abused, these two texts have been very close to their heart, very close to their life as a church. And now, it comes close to our life as a church and as an individual Christian. Today, our government defends abortion, it defends euthanasia, LGBTQ marriages and lifestyles. Today, our government seeks to pass Bill C-6. Our government has canceled Sunday as the Lord's Day, and our government no longer teaches the Bible in our public schools. Of course, it's not all bad. We still have a judicial system. We still have police forces that seek to uphold good and right. We have the child tax credit that has been a blessing to all of us. We have the freedom to educate our children. And though there are restrictions on the number of people that we can have in our buildings for worship, we are still not persecuted for our faith. Yet, we know that our government is not following God. Yet as we live in this country, in our time, we, as pilgrims on this earth, as the Church of Jesus, are called to this scripture. And the message of this word from God to us is this, that as Christians, as the temple of the Lord, keeping our conduct honorable includes submitting to human governmental institutions. We want to look at this passage this morning. First of all, we're going to look at the scope of our submission. Secondly, we want to look at the rationale for our submission. That does come out in this passage. Thirdly, we're going to look at the way that we are to submit. That's clearly brought out here too, where we have a definite direction as to the way that we are to submit. And then last of all, as we read in conclusion in verse 17, we're going to recognize that the whole of the Christian life is a life of submission. We begin with the scope of our submission in verses 13 through 14. Now, this section begins with a command. It says, be subject. It is a command to arrange yourself under, to obey people over you with respect and honor and love. Christian submission in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, includes this: the fear of God, living by faith in God, honoring God, and it includes, secondly, loving others as ourselves. So when we submit as Christians, we fear God, we love others in such a way that we are ready to listen to them, that we are ready to obey them out of faith, that we are ready to help in the situation. For instance, God calls you Christian wives to arrange yourself under your husbands, to submit to your husbands in the fear of God, out of love for your husband, in such a way that you are ready to listen and ready to complete him, ready to help him. Children, you are called also in the fear of God, with faith in the Lord, and love to your parents, to be ready to listen to them, ready to hear them, ready to serve them, ready to help them in your family. That's the meaning of Christian submission. Well, what is the scope then of our submission? Well, generally, it is to all creatures that God has made in his image. As verse 17 of our text says, that we as Christians are to honor everyone. We know people are made in the image of God, so we respect and honor them in their person and in their position that God has given to them in his will for their lives. We honor their person and position in such a way that we are willing to help our neighbor. And of course, Christ Jesus himself is the great example of this submission. We read of this in Philippians chapter number 2, 5 through 8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Edmund Clowney put it like this: like Jesus, Christians are called to serve others, to go the second mile, to suffer injustice without demanding their rights, knowing that they have an assured status before God and that he will vindicate them at last, even as the Father vindicated the Son at the resurrection. As we humble ourselves before our neighbors in our society, as we humble ourselves before others and treat them with respect and honor, we are witnesses to Christ. We are showing people what God is like. And what is God like? When we look at Jesus, we see that he was meek and mild, that he was humble, and that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, was absolutely helpful. He healed the sick. He forgave the woman caught in adultery. He spent time with his disciples and loved children. He saw needs around him, and he submitted himself to them to be helpful. He didn't come to be served. Jesus came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So the scope of our submission generally is that we're to submit to everyone, respecting them, honoring them, seeking what we can do to help them in Jesus' name. But specifically here, Christians are to respect and honor every human authority. It says there in verse 13, the latter half of verse 13 reads this way: whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. You know, the prophet Daniel was called to obey every level of the Babylonian government, from King Nebuchadnezzar down to Nebuchadnezzar's officials who were over Daniel and his three friends. Here, Peter calls Christians to submit to every level of human government. For us today, this would mean and include bylaw officers, police, the municipality and its laws, the provincial and federal officials, and so on. But why is Peter so specific here in this passage? Why does he give us this kind of detail? Well, you see, there is a background to his words in his time period. Peter knew, and God knows, that being a Christian and being the church is now to have a new approach. A new approach to family, a new approach to society, a new approach to marriage. As Christians, we are the new creation of God, and we now live as his pilgrims God's way. So we respond to every situation in society according to God's word, including how we now approach human government. Jesus taught as much. Jesus and Peter knew that Christians are citizens of heaven and thus pilgrims in this life who are absolutely loyal to another king, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I connect with that. We are the Lord's people in the kingdom of God by the gospel. Our supreme loyalty, our supreme love is to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We as Christians, we have full allegiance to him. And so we will not worship government. We will not worship country. We will not get involved in idolatrous patriotism. We as Christians will not condone society's debaucheries. Rather, we will seek to abstain from the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we as Christians, we will not stop worshiping the Lord, the Lord's way. Yet, Christians are not rebels or revolutionaries. Christian loyalty to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Christian loyalty to the kingdom of God, includes submission to human government. Now, the Jews of Peter's day were the opposite. That's the background of Peter's writing. He's not writing to the Judaizers. He's not writing to the Jews. He's writing to the fulfillment of all the Old Testament, Christ and his church. And so this is why he says what he says in opposition to what the Jews of his day were doing. The Jews of his day were anti-Rome, extreme in civil disobedience, seeking freedom from the tyranny of Rome. You see, they were inspired by the Maccabees in the silent years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They were also inspired by the Qumran community. If you notice the Qumran scrolls were discovered a number of years ago, one of those scrolls that were discovered in those caves was the scroll called the War Scroll. It was entitled by the Qumran community as "The Rule for the War of the Sons of Light Against the Sons of Darkness." And in that scroll, they are given ways to practice civil disobedience, war against pagan government. And in Peter's day, the Jews sought to disobey on every level of human government. And this culminated finally in the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus in 70 AD, where the Jewish uprising was finally quelled. Peter, our apostle, God, Peter speaking by the Holy Spirit says, Christian, you submit. You, Christian, bring in the rule of Christ by speaking the gospel with gentleness and meekness, by living the gospel in holiness and kindness, and by practicing meekness in every sphere of life, and how your marriages are conducted, how you raise your children, and particularly here this morning, how you respond and react to civil government. And Peter says that the scope of our submission is that we submit to every level of human authority, of human government. Well, what is the rationale for our submission to human government? There are three. One, human government is ordained of God. Peter knew the book of Daniel, and so that meant that Peter knew that the Roman Empire, the Roman government, which was prophesied would occur there, was actually ordained of God. Because Peter knew that God was the one who had prophesied that it would come to pass, because he would ordain this Roman government, this Roman Empire, to be in place. Yes, my friends, as our confession says in chapter 23, paragraph 1, God, the supreme Lord and King of all the world, hath ordained civil magistrates to be under him, over the people, for his own glory and the public good, and to this end hath armed them with the power of the sword, for the defense and encouragement of them that are good, and for the punishment of evil doers. Civil government, according to God's holy word, is instituted in this world. It is instituted for these reasons by the Lord. One, as a legal force, an authoritative agent to institute and enforce laws for the well-being and good of our Canadian society or any other society of any other country. Two, according to God's word, civil government is a servant of God, instituted in this fallen world to restrain evil. Three, God ordained civil government as an agent of justice and law to punish evildoers and reward the good. Human government is God's gift to us, ordained for our good. And so we know, as our reformers taught us, that even a bad government is better than no government at all. Even a bad government is better than anarchy and rule by the mob. You see, the Roman Empire had some good. There was the Pax Romana. There was peace all over the empire due to the military and legal things that were put in place. There was the road system in the Pax Romana, and this served to spread the gospel, to make it easy for the Apostle Paul and other gospel teams to go into the empire and preach the gospel. In the Roman Empire, they had Roman citizenship and its privileges. There, at that time, literature and art was promoted by the government and was a help to society. And there was, at that time, of the Roman Empire, a judicial system. Many of our present-day judicial ways, judicial methods, are based upon that ancient Roman way of the judicial system. You see, we submit where we can, because government is ordained by God. The second rationale why we submit to our government is for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. Obeying the authorities is a way in which we display the King of the kingdom of God. That is, submitting to the government is an opportunity for you and I as Christians. It's not just a duty. What I mean is that when we submit to our government in a love and in the fear of God, seeking to help, it is an opportunity for you and I to live like Jesus Christ and thus let our light shine as we do that good work for the sake of Jesus. And the third rationale why we submit to the government is we submit to serve God's holy purpose. We submit to serve God's holy purpose. Notice verse 15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. The doing good here is the loving submission, the honorable submission that we give to our human government. And notice that this submission serves God's purposes. By our respecting and honoring the government, we silence the ignorant talk of foolish people, as Peter says. You see, in Peter's day and in the early church period, Christians were maligned as being cannibals because they had the Lord's Supper, where they said that the bread represented the broken body of our Lord, and the wine represented the spilled blood of our Lord. And so they said that Christians are cannibals. They also said that Christians disrupt trade because Christians would share their goods with one another to make sure that there was no need that was there, but that everyone had what they needed. The enemies of the Christian church also said that the Christians were sexually lewd. They gave each other holy kisses. What comes from that? And then the ungodly world said that Christians have a secret society because they won't let anybody come to the Lord's table, or they won't give anyone a holy kiss. It's only those who name the name of Christ. Well, Peter says, honor the government and show by your good works that these charges are false. Dear congregation, it is God's will that the church shows human society that we are not wicked rebels, but law-abiding citizens who do good works to God's glory and to the good of society. Sanchez said, as we obey the rules of earthly governments, we provide a faithful witness to our king and country. As we pay whatever taxes are due, obey the laws of the state, honor those in authority, and encourage righteousness and justice, then we will silence those who may be tempted to slander us and slander our king. So the mind of Christ is submission to civil government, even when it is ungodly. Of course, Daniel disagreed with many things in the Babylonian Empire. And Peter disagreed about many things regarding the Roman Empire under that wicked man Nero. And you and me, we today in the church, have many reasons to regard our government as an enemy. However, we still have the opportunity to obey where we can as we make our pilgrimage through this life. Because our government is a servant of God. Assyria, Babylonia, Greece, Rome, they were all servants of God's holy judgment. And they were themselves evil governments. And God used them to judge his people. And then, read your Bibles, then they themselves were judged and destroyed for their own evil. Canada is serving God's purpose too. And she is now embracing more and more and more evil. And so she too will fall under God's judgment and fall. Yet we, like Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Paul, like the believers at the Roman church in the city of Rome, we are still to submit. Now, if government asks us to disobey God, we don't do that. They are not God. Daniel lived with and for God first. He only gently, yet firmly spoke in opposition and disobeyed the government when they asked him to do things that go against God's word specifically. But until then, Daniel submitted. And of course, that brings us to the third point, the way we submit. The way we submit, and that comes out in verse 16. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. How do we submit? What's the way of our submission as the church, as Christians? We submit in our freedom in Christ, first of all. We submit in our freedom in Christ. And here we have the gospel. You and I, who are the Lord's people, we've been redeemed by the cross and resurrection of our Lord. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We are not citizens of the kingdom of darkness. We are on our way to glory. We are the Lord's. We are free from guilt, free from sin, free from eternal judgment, free from hell. We are free in Jesus Christ. And so we live as people who are free. And being free in Christ makes us first and foremost a bond servant, a loved slave of our great God. We are the church militant, soldiers of Jesus, who is the victory over Satan. Soldiers of Jesus, who is the King of all kings, who by his resurrection has set us free to serve only him. We are not enslaved to human government. We are not afraid of man. We as Christians will not worship our country. We will not worship our government. We will not worship a man in political office, because we are free from the bondage of evil and free in the Lord. The cross and resurrection has brought us this goodness. And so if a government is bad or good, it doesn't matter to us. We will still follow the Lord. Human government cannot change the eternal destiny of our life with God. It cannot take away our pilgrimage or stop our tracks. Actually, now, in whatever form of government we find ourselves in, now is the time for you and I to do good and let our light shine by following God's holy word in all spheres of life. And so, the way that we submit to our human government is in our freedom in our Lord Jesus Christ. But the second way that we submit to our government is that we submit as servants of God. As it says at the end of verse number 16, but living as servants of God, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of the Lord. Now, this is an interesting phrase. We are free in the Lord, but we're not to use our freedom as a cover-up for sin. That is, we are not to have the attitude, I'm a Christian, I don't need to pay my taxes. After all, this government is ungodly anyway. Or this attitude, this government is so bad that I'm not going to do what they ask me to do. I'm a Christian after all. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. So I'm going to live my own way. No. Having been set free by Christ, we freely choose to follow human authorities for the Lord's sake. We are to do good, like the church in the Old Testament was to do good when she was in Babylon. Remember? Remember, the church at that time was to be generous to Babylonians. The church at that time was to be helpful to the Babylonian people. As Jeremiah says, and seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Yes, even as we chug along, as difficult as it is, we submit to COVID regulations and seek the welfare of our society in this country. You know, we the church, we pilgrims, have not yet been singled out for persecution. Oh, the restrictions have been suffering. We have suffered, but not to the point of shedding our blood, not to the point of persecution. You see, our government is not yet like the Russian communist government in the 1920s and 30s, which purposefully, focusedly sought to close churches and sought to brainwash their people that there is no God, God is dead, that the God of life is the state. And so they purposefully burned, they purposefully confiscated the churches, they targeted God's people. Now, this might yet happen in Canada, but it does not seem to be the case right now. If it were, our government would have let the restaurants open, the gyms open, Canadian Tire open, and so on, and they would have purposely shut us down specifically. And we, the church, at least in this province in Ontario, we can still meet. We can preach the whole counsel of God. We can administer the holy sacraments. We can do church discipline. We can counsel our people in the ways of the Lord. We can even say what is wrong with the government to this day. So we still submit and seek the welfare of our neighbor as we live our Christian lives. For you see, last of all, we are gospel people. And we come to verse 17. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Here we learn that our Christian life as sojourners and exiles is now a life of submission. We honor everyone, as I've explained earlier, but we also love our brotherhood. We submit to each other in our family. That's where we begin to live this life of love and honesty and respect for one another. We seek to be united around the banner Jesus Christ and are patient with one another, have brotherly love amongst one another. Serve each other. Be a help where we can be a help in the midst of all of our suffering. And even if it comes to persecution, in the midst of all of our persecution. That's the gospel way. But then it says we also fear God. Oh, this is it. We fear God. We believe God. We trust in Jesus Christ. The whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep his commandments. We submit this way as the people of the Lord. And then we honor the emperor. We honor our government. The Christian life is a life of submission. Now, of course, we always obey God first. There are limitations to the honor Christians give to the government, because our life is a life of submission, ultimately always first to God and from God to others. So we know God sets the parameters. And so we give our submission by faith under the obedience of the Lord. We always obey God first. But you see, that's not the message here of Peter. Here we are called as Christians, the Lord's temple, the new Israel, as God's sojourners and exiles, to be subject to them, insofar as they do not require us to disobey God's word. That's the message here. And of course, this submission is very hard. It's hard for you, it's hard for me, it's hard for all of us. All of us have had inconsistencies in this past year about how far we obey, to what degree we obey. We've also had sins in our submission throughout our lives, not only now during the time of COVID, but even before. We still struggle with sin. And some of us, we in our consciences make decisions by and from God's word as to what we allow ourselves to do or don't allow ourselves to do. Oh yes, this submission is hard. So you see, that's why we need the Lord's Supper this morning. As we come before the Lord's Supper, we come before Christ again to ask Him to forgive us, to ask Him to help us to continue to be the meek and gentle and lowly servants of Jesus Christ that we're called to be. As we come to the Lord's Supper, it will strengthen us to follow this Word of God today. This world is not our home, but we are in it, and we are to show Christ to others in the good works that we do, including the good works of submitting where we can to our government as we patiently live for the Lord, waiting for the consummation of all things. Amen. Let us pray.